How you doing? Did you have a good Christmas? Yeah? Who here would say this past week was kind of relaxing? It's okay if it is. I had a great week. It was a great week. It was kind of light, had extra time, lots of time with family. We got to play board games. We got to go sledding. Our daughter, Lauren, who's actually going to be coming reading scripture in just a moment, is, she's a high school junior. And so there's a sense of like, oh my, the years just rocket on past. So I had a little extra time this week, and I did something that maybe some of you have done or you tend to do around the new year, is I cleaned my closets. Yeah, there's a picture up there just to prove that I cleaned my closet. And so I don't know about you, but so for me, on a lot of days, you know, if I'm looking for clothing, I just kind of look for what I can find first. Like, what's kind of at the top of the pile? Like, what's something that Anita will approve of? Number one, and two, won't get any angry, you know, emails from the congregation. I am so offended by your socks, Pastor. Whatever it is, that's never happened, but it probably could. Anyways, so I'm looking for something that is going to work. Here's the point: I started cleaning my closet and getting rid of stuff I don't really use, and I found all these clothes that I wasn't even aware of. You ever had this happen? You start cleaning your stuff, you're like, wow, I got some pretty cool stuff. I got some really nice shirts and some really nice pants, and I found this sweater. I'm going to tell you a bit more about this in a bit. I mean, and it feels great to find things, doesn't it? Feels great, especially when you didn't even know that you lost them, but there they are. It's like a whole new wardrobe. We went shopping in my own closet, and it was great. Anyways, now that tees us up for the topic that we're going to be looking at over the next 4 weeks. We're going to do an in-depth study of Luke chapter 15. Because there is one big focusing idea in Christianity. One thing is totally distinctive about the Christian faith. And here's the reason why I think we need to keep coming back to it. Is that this is the value for us that tends to leak the fastest. It is the most distinctive element of Christian faith, and it's the one that we tend to forget about first. So I invite you to open up the Bible. So whether that's on your Bible app, you could do that. If you go into the Bible app, you look under events, you find Columbia Grove, it'll be right there. You can open it up and follow along. Or there's paper Bibles too. Have you heard of these? They're fantastic. They don't even need battery power. But so while Lauren is coming up, we're going to be in Luke chapter 15, looking at verses 1 through 7. Now, this is the first of three stories that Jesus tells. Three stories really with one point. And it's the only point, it's the only time in the scriptures where Jesus tells three similar stories back to back. So he must really want us to get the point of this story. And I would invite us, as we hear God's word, to stand, just out of respect for the gospel. And I would challenge you, even as you're hearing God's word read, to see if, now for some of you, this might actually be the first time you hear it, in which case, that's great. For some, and if you can't stand, it's really okay. We know you respect God's word. But if you've heard this passage before, and you probably have, if you've read the New Testament, you've probably heard this passage before. My prayer is that this morning we would hear it with fresh ears. Lord, help my ears to be truly open to what you have to say to me today through your word. Okay, let's hear God's word. Yeah.
Now the tax collectors and the sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent.
Amen. God's word. So please have a seat, but keep your Bibles open, okay? Or keep your Bible apps open. Okay. So Jesus is teaching, and there is a group of people that have gathered around him. Who are they? Do you remember? They're the tax collectors and sinners, okay? They've gathered to listen to Jesus, but they're not the only people, are they? There's also the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. And it's interesting, you've got these two groups, tax collectors and sinners, Pharisees and teachers of the law. Are these groups that would normally hang out at parties? No. These are two very, very, very different groups. And here's the part that gets interesting, okay? So the Pharisees, of course, they've been working really hard to please God. They're trying to obey the word and all these kind of things. They are the good people. They're the hardworking people, the people that are assuming because they're trying so hard, they're close to God. And because they're close to God, God must like them more. The closer we are to God, the more God must like us. That's the assumption, right? Sometimes we carry those same assumptions. But there's another group too, isn't there? Who are they? Tax collectors and sinners. Anybody like tax collectors? No, me neither. These are people that had assumed, of course, that they're distant from God. They've assumed because they're distant from God, God must be fairly disinterested in them. And they're hearing something that's very different than what they had assumed to be true. So there's kind of two attitudes in the crowd. Did you notice that? So the tax collectors and sinners, they are leaning in. So just for fun, lean forward. Lean forward. They have the attitude of the student. Lord, tell me something. Teach me something. And meanwhile, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they have not a student's attitude, but a critic's attitude. So they're leaning. Let's see this. Leaning back. Looking down their nose. They're trying to decide whether or not they like it. Does Jesus meet up with our standards and expectations and approval? There's a student, and there's the critic, there's the lean in, there's the lean out. Which kind are you when you hear God's word? So here's the scene. Two very, very different people, two very, very different attitudes, and Jesus starts telling this really basic story about stuff that everybody would kind of know. You know, this like one of the basic parts of Middle Eastern life, which is, of course, sheep. Just one of the basic things. Now, sheep are great. Sheep are extreme. So I want to talk about sheep for a moment. You okay with that? You have a picture of a sheep? Sheep. No. Sheep? Yes! Sheep. Sheep are valuable, right? Because sheep can do all sorts of things. They're wonderful because they're so versatile. Sheep provide you with wool. And that's why I wanted to. I have a wool sweater on today. This wool sweater actually came from my paternal grandfather. He ran a clothing store in England. And so this sweater is, I don't know how many years old. It's pretty old. So it's definitely older than me. I kind of like it. And it's really warm. So that's why, and I found it again this week. So it kind of reminded me of how great it is to find things. But wool, it's wonderful. It keeps you warm. It's useful. So, and did you know you can milk a sheep? You can have sheep milk. Now, apparently, sheep, because they freak out a lot, they could get scared really easy. And if you milk a scared sheep, there's like adrenaline in the milk, which makes it taste yucky. So you kind of like, ba, 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 ba. You know, I don't know how you do it. So it's not really common, but apparently it's really good. So you got wool from sheep. You get milk from sheep, so you can get cheese from sheep, right? Sheep, they provide fertilizer. They can live on almost anything, and you can eat sheep. Some of you have eaten sheep. So mutton or lamb, they're incredibly versatile, valuable animals. And it's actually because of their versatility and how productive they are, that there are vulnerabilities that come along with that. Did you know that for every area in your life where you're productive, there's every strength, there's an associated weakness? Sheep are amazing because they are so versatile and valuable and productive and useful. And it's some of those same characteristics. Like sheep, I was reading, I had time on my hands this week. So the wool blindness, because of course they've got wool around their eyes. They have a hard time seeing. They have good peripheral vision, but they don't get to use it because there's so much wool surrounding their eyes oftentimes. Think about it. It's often the areas of blessing in your life, in my life, that can close us off and help us to lose perspective of the bigger picture and what God is doing, isn't it? It's the fact that they are so versatile and they can eat so many different things that makes them fairly vulnerable to predators. We're not going to go there quite yet, but so sheep, they're wonderful. They're wonderful. And they're vulnerable. Which brings us to the next point in the story. So a sheep, they wander off from the flock. And then there's a reason why the shepherd would go after them, isn't there? What's that? Why would a shepherd go after a sheep? Valuable. It's vulnerable. And an isolated sheep is an endangered sheep, right? Because the truth is, there are predators. And now think about this for a minute. For a sheep, some sheep are when they wander off from the flock, they're probably totally aware of it. You know, they look up, their buddies aren't there. Just help me, give me a scared sheep look. Repeat after me. Bah. Bah. So some sheep are totally aware that they are lost, totally aware that they are isolated, and they're totally freaked out, not producing any good milk at all. Just bah. But it could also be that there's a sheep that may be cautiously optimistic, you know. They've wandered off from the flock. This is new territory. Nothing bad's happening. Maybe I must be an exceptional sheep that can just survive on my own. Their confidence is growing over time because nothing bad has happened. Cautiously optimistic. Repeat after me. Bah. Huh. Some sheep, I don't know what's going on in a little sheep brain, but some sheep, I'm assuming, they might be really excited about being off on their own. They're like, I'm out of this flock. These people, the shepherd's always trying to boss me around, telling me what to do, lead me to grass here, grass there, whatever. I'm going to find my own grass out. Yeah, I was about to go off in places that just recently got legalized, and it's totally dumb. But oh, I'm going to find my own grass. And they're all like, woo-hoo-hoo. Say it with me, bah. Yes. And of course, a predator looks at the scared sheep, bah, the cautiously optimistic sheep, and the overconfident sheep in the same way, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, because all of those sheep are endangered. All of them can be taken down by almost anything. There are predators. The life of the sheep is at stake. Whether the sheep is aware of it or not. Let's think about that. As Jesus says, this is how the kingdom of God works. There's a shepherd who pursues sheep because sheep on their own, when they're isolated, they're in danger. You know, you don't need to feel lost to be lost. We live in a world where there's all sorts of people doing all sorts of things, some of them very, very distant from God. And some people feel lost. Some people are looking. Some people are searching, and some aren't.
Some are so excited about their independence from God. I did it my way. All those things, right? And all of them are in danger. Let me see your eyes, okay? Guys, this is not neutral. This is not a neutral issue. The scriptures teach us that God himself is the source of life. And when we, when you and I and the people we love around us get distant from God, they are cutting themselves off from the very source of life. And this is not a neutral thing. This is not a, oh, some ways good for you and other ways are good for you if it works for you. No, this is like, this is not a preference issue. This is not a fixing sin issue. This is a death issue. This is a life or death issue. We have a sin problem, therefore we have a death problem. And so Jesus, he's talking to this group of people. And, you know, the Pharisees are assuming they're close to, you know, they're working so hard to follow all the rules, therefore they must be close to God. The tax collectors and sinners are aware that they're distant from God. And but they must figure that, you know, they're assuming, at least they've been told up to this point, that people who are distant from God are also distant from God's affection. And Jesus comes in with this radical, radical message. It's this, and he says, in essence, if you don't know God's concern for lost people, you don't really know God. Do you find that offensive? Kind of is. That's why Jesus immediately, after he's teaching all these things, he immediately became an endangered species, you know, in the minds of the Pharisees and teachers of the law. I mean, you try going up to the most religious person you know and saying, oh, by the way, you're not as good as you think you are, and most of your theology is off. See you, have a nice day. How's that going to go for you? So Jesus is presenting this radical idea, this idea that is distinctive to Christianity. I mean, every faith in the world, every other faith in the world, every other philosophy in the world basically says, do good and good things will happen. And as you try hard and work hard and try to do the right thing, then God's going to like you more. And Jesus comes along and he says something very different. And he's not saying don't to try to do the right thing, but he is saying that God's heart is for those who are distant from him because the stakes are so high. If you don't, if we don't, if I don't know God's concern for lost people, I don't really know God. Chew on that. Later on in the book of John, Jesus talks about sheep and shepherds, and I'm not going to put this up on the screen, but I just want you to hear these words of how Jesus describes himself relative to sheep and relative to the role of the shepherd. John chapter 10, verse 2, the one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought them out, all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice, but they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said it again. Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Know that there's a thief. Know that there's a predator. Know that there are forces that wage against your soul. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. One thing we need to know about God is that God wants lost people found. And so he himself, the great shepherd of our souls, he himself goes out looking for us as we, when we get lost. I want to push us a little bit today. If we know that the heart of God is especially extended to those who are distant from God, whether they know it or not, if we know that the heart of God, the shepherd, the one who leaves the 99, leaves them in open country, or the wilderness, as sometimes translated, presumably under an under-shepherd, presumably just someplace where they're going to be kind of cared for, but the shepherd, the main shepherd, actually leaves to go, to find. What does that say about us in our pursuit of God? If we want to go where God is, we want to go where God is on the move, friends, we need to make certain we have God's heart for lost people. Now, I'm not totally certain I agree with this next statement myself, but I'm going to put it out there because it's just been very challenging to me. You ever been in a church where it feels like the Spirit has just left the building? Where do you think the Spirit went to? I want to be places where God is on the move. I want to be places where I'm experiencing the Spirit of God in my life individually, corporately. I believe it's happening here. But one of the reasons why I believe it's happening here is because lost people are being found. And as long as our hearts are supple, as long as our hearts are tender and soft, as long as we don't forget this core value of God, the Spirit of, we can enjoy God's presence with us. Now, that's not to say that, you know, when we have those moments that we turn inward, that God totally abandons us. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying I know where the action is. And the action is in the mission. And guys, if I'm being honest, and I hope I can be, this is one of those values that has a tendency to leak in my own life. The majority of my friends are Christians. I like them. I've got hundreds and hundreds of people that are Christians that I know and I like, and we hang out together and we do really great things. And so there's a tendency in my soul to be really concerned with the needs that are right around me and these wonderful brothers and sisters in Christ, and that's good. It's good. But to the neglect, this is what happens in me, but to the neglect of those who don't know Christ. Does that happen to you sometimes? And this awareness of there is a spiritual battle in every moment of every day. God is looking to reach people who are distant from him in every moment of every day. And that being lost has eternal consequences. So one of the things I challenge myself to do, it's one of three kind of self-diagnostic health questions. If you've heard my preaching for any amount of time, you've heard them before, but it's good to be reminded. One of the questions I try to ask myself every day is, have I prayed for somebody that, as far as I know, is distant from God? Have I prayed for somebody today that, as far as I know, is distant from God. Now, whether or not the heavens move and God does some remarkable things, though I've seen God do that as a result of prayer, I believe prayer is powerful. But whether it's powerful that day or not, or whether God answers the prayer in the way that I hope he answers it or not, this much I do know. When I pray those kind of prayers, it changes something inside of me. And my priorities shift. And I get more compassionate. And I care more. If you find yourself in places where you feel like, oh, I feel like I'm a little spiritually dry, this is one of the questions, friends, we need to ask ourselves. Am I consciously praying for somebody who does not yet know Christ? Because as I do, my heart starts to align with the heart of the Father, the heart of the Son, the heart of the Shepherd, the one who goes to lost people, the one who leaves, the one who finds, and the one who rejoices when people are found. If I'm not willing to leave my comfort zone, what's that say about me? What's that say about us? If God really loves lost people, this should challenge us in how we talk about our surrounding culture. You know, I could crack a really good atheist joke. I could post it on Facebook. I could have a great time with that. Is it going to win anybody? Probably not. How can you find someone you don't even love? People can tell. People are lost, but they're not stupid. They know whether or not you care. They should have some influence on how we talk about people of other faiths and religions. So we don't need to descend into universalism. Everything is good. It's not. Every pathway can be the right pathway. No, it can't. Just try going east and expect to go to end up in Seattle. It's not going to happen, folks. Get in a rocket ship and shoot off into space and expect to land in Seattle. You're not going to be there. Not all pathways lead to heaven. We're not talking universalism here. But it matters how we talk about people of other faiths. And it matters whether or not we love people of other faiths. Did you know that God loves Muslims? That God wants them to know Christ? Refugees from other religious backgrounds, do you know that God loves them and wants them to know Christ? And if there are no Christians who are willing to engage in their lives, how are they going to hear about the love of Christ? Now, I recognize there are political realities. We've got to honor those systems and processes. But friends, there are kingdom realities. God loves lost people. God wants lost people found. Lord, break my heart for what breaks yours. So we apply this. Just like those who are originally hearing Jesus, as he told this story for the first time, there's tax collectors and sinners, and there's Pharisees. There's the student, and there's the critic. There's those who assume themselves to be right with God, therefore they must be close with God, therefore must God must love them more. Those who assume themselves to be distant from God, therefore God must like them less. We'll hear this message today in one of two ways. Some of us, when we hear this and we go, I'm the lost sheep. I don't know how it happened, but I'm aware of it right now. I've been keeping God at arm's length. I've been trying to ignore or push God out of my life, or been blind to something. I don't know. You need to know today that you are not as distant as you think. You're one prayer, you're one decision, you're one choice away from God. Just one. And today, this first day in 2017, today could be your big day. Today could be the day, boom, a milestone, a marker gets put in your life. And you're like, this was the day. This was the day that I came to Christ. It's been awesome. But I love this church because we're seeing people come to Christ all the time. So whether that's people marking it on their cards, and we do sometimes a little prayer thing with, like, I ask people to make eye contact. I got to pray with somebody Christmas Eve, they took the first precious steps of faith. It's happening right here. And maybe today that's you. Today is your big day. It's your turnaround day. It's your I was lost, but now I'm found. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Today's your day. And maybe for some of us, we hear this and we go, whoops. I've gotten myself into the Pharisee role. It happens so easily for us religious folks, myself included. And I find myself becoming indifferent or so concerned about my own little crew that I'm not worried about what's happening out there. And today for us, today could be that refocused day as well. As we say, Lord, would you work in my heart? Would you make it soft again? God, would you put people on my mind? Would you put people in my life that I can be praying for? And we need to remember, as we are looking to reach out to the world around us, you're not the shepherd. Every time somebody comes to Christ, it is a miracle. And God moves first. Now, he uses your prayers, he uses your openness, he uses your willingness to engage and to speak the truth in loving, respectful ways. But it's not our job to manipulate. It's not our job to use guilt. I mean, how do you lead somebody to grace through guilt? Doesn't work. But what we can do is we can pray. We can pray. We can lift them up to the Lord. We can say, Lord, would you open my heart? Would you open my eyes? Would you help me to be available as you move in their lives? Help me to be one of those Christians that cares enough and that lives with enough authenticity that as your spirit tugs on their heart, that I might have an opportunity to say where that tug came from. So where are you today, friends? Which camp do you find yourself in? How do you hear this message today? I invite you to bow your heads. Let's close our eyes. And just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us. If today, is just a day of awareness that you've been distant from God. And today is a day where you're feeling the tug of the Spirit. You know that the shepherd has been looking for you. He's been looking for you. Maybe today is your turnaround day. I'm not going to put you on the spot, but if today is your day, your turnaround day, you're coming back home. Would you allow me to minister to you? Again, I'm not going to put you on the spot, but let's make eye contact for a moment. Just eye contact. Okay, I see you. I see you in the back. I see you. And this is a day. And I hope, because Jesus just said that heaven rejoices when stuff like this happens. I hope if you're part of this church and you're hearing this, because now this might happen almost every week. But if this doesn't get your heart rate pumping, I don't know what will. Right? I don't know what will. But a half dozen people today recommitted their lives to Jesus. Are you excited about that? Okay? We're going to pray out loud for some of these kinds of prayers, okay? We're going to pray them out loud to support our brothers and sisters. And if today, if it's your big day, some of you, and you know who you are, we've been talking, we've been looking at each other, right? Today's your big day. I invite you to pray them out loud with all these weird relatives you just acquired, okay? This weird old family of faith, we're going to pray together, bah, 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 we're a big flock, and let's pray it out loud together, okay? Dear Jesus, thank you that you love me enough that you would come and find me, that you would die on the cross for my sin, that you would rise from the grave so that I can have new life in you and with you forever. Lord, come into my life. Lead me, guide me, shape my decisions that I might be a follower of yours. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, before we go excited and start clapping and cheering, and we better do that. Those of us that find ourselves in the other audience, take just a moment before the Lord and silently under your breath or however, speak before God the first name of somebody who is on your heart today. And just allow the process of praying for that person, allow that to break your heart again. Take just a moment before the Lord and do that. Oh Lord, hear our prayers. Amen. Take a moment, thank the Lord for what he's doing, and thank the Lord for what he wants to do in and through you and the people you love. Just do that. Come on, guys. If you're not excited about this, you're not excited about anything.